Well, in this episode, we have Kyle Dunnigan, we have Chris Hansen, we have Kyle Dunnigan doing Chris Hansen in front of Chris Hansen, and Chris Hansen doing Chris Hansen in front of Kyle Dunnigan. Casper Van Dien, Starship Troopers and Beyond, is going to join us as well. News and all that right after this.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is NBA champion Bobby Portis of the Milwaukee Bucks, here with my brand new podcast, Keep It A Buck. Each week, me, AB, and Barrette will be talking to special guests from fellow athletes, celebrities, and friends from all walks of life. We're talking honest conversations with real people about their lives and what drives them to succeed. And you know we'll keep it a buck. Download new episodes of Keep It A Buck every Thursday, coming soon on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcast. Keep it a buck. Peace.
It's the toolbox. As the new dawn of artificial intelligence is upon us, it seems like all we can do is cheat on college papers. We had other ideas in the 70s from Who Are You? Let me introduce 905 on the toolbox.
Father was an incubator. Father was the contents of a test tube in the icebox in the factory of birth. My name is 905, and I've just become alive. I'm the newest populator of the planet we call Earth.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Chris Hansen, and Kyle Dunnigan as Chris Hansen. Plus, we'll hear from actor Casper Van Dien and do some news stories with Chris Laxamana. And now, inviting you in for some sweet tea and Toll House cookies. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. To get it on. No choice but to get it on. Amanda, get it on. Welcome to the show. Chris Hansen is back. Kyle Dunnigan is back. Max Pata's never left.
Hi.
And good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
I know you guys met up on Kyle's show.
We sure did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
YouTube show, youtube.com/Kyle Dunnigan. And Chris has a new series out, True Crime Nation with Chris Hansen, and we'll get into that. That's on True Blue Streaming Network.
That's correct. Watch TrueBlue.com.
So how did you guys hook up?
I was doing him on my show a mm-hmm. lot. It was very
this
popular.
Is his story. I'll tell you the real story.
Yeah. We'll have a seat there. Hold on. And people really liked the impression. And they would ask for it, and I kept doing it. And I love doing it because I really like Chris's – I think he has one of the best voices. I'm not just saying this, but it's just a very good voice to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And do you do other voiceovers?
I have done some
yeah.
in the past. Not a yeah. ton.
I guess it would sound like someone's well, you'd doing know something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
buy
yeah.
it or you're going to jail.
Yeah, you couldn't do Chris Hansen for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups because people would start looking yeah, over right. their shoulder.
Or sweet tea or
reading
White
children's
Claw,
books.
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah. yeah.
Hey, diddle, diddle. The cat yeah. and the fiddle.
Maybe.
But the fiddle wasn't the only thing the cat was going to diddle.
Hold on, Kyle. What?
Oh,
what
I was telling the story of how we met.
What would it sound like if Chris Hansen was doing a VO for Subway?
Subway sandwiches. Taste the difference.
Yeah, see, that would what freak you, people out.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, Jared being gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying Jared we got to.
Oh, I guess that's a good angle.
We got to replace. Well, why not replace?
That's a good
isn't
idea.
Isn't Chris the opposite
Perfect.
Of Jared?
Yeah, I think
we
so.
Took
yeah.
care of the last guy. Don't you worry. We also take care of your mayonnaise and lettuce here at Subway.
Yeah, because what. You know, they have all these rando spokespeople, but what the hell do they have to do with subs?
Well, plus it could be the official sub of, you know, the Predator investigation.
It's a really mm-hmm. good idea.
It really
to
is.
Do that.
We could have it out on the kitchen counter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Product placement.
Why don't you yeah. have a little bite of sandwich there, and I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. I think we should get a little piece of this. Well, I guess it was your idea.
Well, you would be,
could be
Chris would be like,
show.
Are you a foot long or six-incher?
Yeah. You say here in your chat you're a foot long.
And you like the spicy meatball.
The spicy meatball. I made Chris, going back to the original thing, because mm-hmm. I don't do a great impression of him, but I said, can you do me doing you? Mm-hmm. It's very gracious to lay it on thick.
Well, you both, I think Kyle, your baseline is a little bit Chris Hansen. I mean,
There's a little similarity. Your speaking voice
is not so far away that you don't, there's not a big bridge to build between your normal conversational voice and then the Chris Hansen voice. So that's probably why it comes so naturally.
Yeah, Bill Maher's very close to my voice, too.
Yes, as well, which we should get into because Bill was like talking to Woody Harrelson, and Bill's been kind of vocal lately.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's angry at woke stuff.
He's angry at woke stuff. Right. He's kind of angry at the media, like suppressing like COVID stuff. Like he's all over it. So anyway, continue the story. You're doing Hansen. People are enjoying it. And then what?
Yeah, and then I guess someone reached out or something. We connected on email, and I asked if he would do the show, and he was very gracious to do it. And then we did like a rehearsal where I told him to stop doing himself so badly and do it like me.
That's right.
Yeah. Get with it. Get with the program.
Yeah, and then we do it live, so it's like kind of nerve-wracking still. To do like a live. I don't know if you feel like nervous.
For me because I have my little section of your larger show where you've got to hit times and get it all done and change outfits and that. So I have the easy part in that.
Yeah, it's a lot easier being a guest on someone's show than hosting.
Unless you're a guest on my show. we shot one just the night before last, by the way.
Did you? How'd that go?
Well, we caught four guys.
Catch a Predator.
We call it Takedown with Chris Hansen, but it's the same idea. It's for True Blue, but it's the Predator investigation. In 5 hours, we caught four guys, including a 61-year-old doctor.
Wow.
Who is there for a teenage girl. Oh. And as he comes in, and mind you, he's been having these chats and sending pictures of his penis while he's been treating 18 patients during the day.
What's he sending? A picture of what, Kyle?
Penis. Penis.
Okay,
sorry.
So it's a doctor. He's treating. It's a family practice.
He's
treating
a physician.
A physician.
I know because Jill Biden fucked the whole thing up. We have to call everyone doctor this and doctor that. Mm. So I don't know if the person, you know, teaches MD, Chicano MD. Studies or like works with human anatomy.
This is a doctor.
Okay.
And so in the course of his day, seeing patients, including children, he's a family practitioner. He's texting one of our decoys. Saying, I want you to call me daddy, I will bang you hard, and other things. And then he shows up. Now, I don't know he's a doctor when he shows up.
To the house.
To the house.
The safe house.
And he walks in, and the decoy is there, and he follows her in and grabs her behind.
Right away.
Just cups it. Cups it right there. So he got a fourth charge on that deal. So – and you can see it in the video. We'll have it on the next couple of weeks. But he goes over there. I come in. And he's dressed well. He pulled up in a Range Rover.
Right? Oh, so nice car.
Tells you that. And he admits to me that he's a doctor and that he was having this in conversation during his practice, sending a picture of himself, his penis.
And, his what?
His penis.
Okay, I wasn't sure. What was that one more time?
His penis.
Yeah. Okay.
And so this guy is now facing serious charges. And you have to wonder. He admitted to me he had done this before. He didn't say it was with kids, but he had met women online. And that's going to come as a surprise to his whole family who's out on Facebook.
Is everyone who's walking in now familiar with the show?
We had a guy. The guy who came in after him said in the chat, I feel like I'm walking into the Predator show.
Mm.
And as he's coming up, walk into the house. The decoy is talking to him on the phone, and he's talking about Chris Hansen. He had the name screwed up. He said Charles Hansen or Charlie Hansen or whatever. But he walks in. Decoy moves. I step in, and he's So what did you think was going to happen?
Do you not see all the Subway subs on the
ground? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when you see Chris, like even just seeing him today, you think, for a minute you go, like, did I do something? Have I been talking to kids? Just seeing his presence is...
There's kind of that element of somebody married a cop and they come over for Thanksgiving and you're sort of like, hide the booze or put the beer down or, you know, there's a kind of a reaction to authority. Mm-hmm. If anyone... It's sort of like you hang out with Dr. Drew and you're drinking or something, but you want to limit, you know, your little, you're scared you're being judged, I guess is what's going on. So where was the house? It's always in Fresno.
No, this house was in Michigan,
Central
Michigan, just north of Flint. And, you know, regular, nice neighborhood, small town. We had done one a few weeks before that in Florida. And, you know, guy showed up there. It's amazing. You know, it was 19 years ago last month that we did the very first predator investigation.
Wow.
And again, this is like, you know, 10% of my portfolio, but it is what, you know, people and it, what has become, you know, socially significant on all across social media.
Let's dive into your psyche for a second, Chris. Mm,
that's a scary place to go.
But I'm curious. I really am. So I did Catch a Contractor.
Right.
And so we would bust bad contractors.
Great show. And so important, you know, and to have an element of humor in it too, you know.
I could bring some of that
of
to
course.
Your show.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like there's a little lawsuit there you got.
We,
you know what
we
I mean?
Could
I
do.
Know,
I'll revert back to the psyche question in a second, but maybe you get Kyle to come out and you do a sort of dueling Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
Like
imagine.
You double team him. Yeah.
He could be Charles Hansen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Chris's brother Charles Hansen, and you've been trying to have
my distant cousin Charles.
So here's the question about the psyche.
Yeah.
And it's a wiring. Like I remember very clearly as a young kid when I see those crime movies and the guys, you know, the judge, like, you're never going to see the light of day again. We're locking you up for life. I felt really bad for the criminal. Now, I don't know why, but I just felt bad. Like, oh, my God, he's going to be locked up for the rest of his life.
His life is ruined. His family hates him.
When I did Catch a Contractor, I was a contractor. I knew a lot of guys I went to high school with were really scummy contractor guys. But I also knew they were kind of poor and beat down and downtrodden. And, you know, the producers would be like, get in that guy's face and give it to him good. He's trying to rip this family off. And I'm like, well, they have a home and a family, and he's got a beater van parked out front.
I
feel kind of bad for the dude. Now, that's not a pedophile. But, I mean, I didn't look at myself as like, I'm going to bring this guy to justice. I looked at it as like, I kind of feel weird doing that to this guy because I'm sure he's got a lot of troubles. Do you feel like I'm taking a dangerous person off the street, or do you have like, God, this is uncomfortable?
Well, I think it's different in different cases. Mm. You know, I went hard on the doctor because here's a guy who should know better. Here's a guy who's held to a higher level of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier in the day, a 21-year-old walked in,
mm-hmm.
clean-cut guy, there for a teenage girl. Wrong, illegal. But the story he started to spin, I approached in a different way because I did feel some empathy for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, oh, I didn't have a lot going on. None of it excuses the rape of a child, by the way.
Yeah.
None of that.
There's a difference between 21 and 61.
There was a difference between 21 and 61. But then when you start to peel away the layers, you say you have no relationship and that's why you felt like you needed to do this. What about your fiance?
Ooh.
And what about the child you have with your fiancé? And what do you think would have happened if I wasn't here and a teenage girl was here?
What?
And
how
what's
do
the
you
difference?
Know about what's, the fiancé and the
well,
child?
Well, because I had done the research, so I've got the packet. We've already dug into his social media. We know what he is and what he does. And he's going to tell me one story, which on the face of it sounds very sympathetic. Maybe. But when you know the real story and you start to peel that away with him, suddenly he knows what he did was wrong and he deserves to go to jail.
How old does he think this teen girl is?
In this particular case, it's 15.
Do you always kind of keep it at one age?
We keep it. It's either 13, 14, or 15.
Does this then is this all this stuff admissible in court?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there's two things going on there. There's our, you know, production, and there's the law enforcement investigation. So the crime has really been committed, for the most part, in most states, with the online solicitation. That's the crime. The transcripts, the chats, that's the solicitation of a child for sex. Now, the fact he shows up, whatever other admissions he makes, also can be added to the case. In the case of the doctor, the fact that he grabbed the bottom of the decoy, that's a fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct case.
Yeah. Chris, real quick, because Adam has an idea. I think there's a lot of holes in it. I want to know what you think. He thinks you should use actual 9-year-old decoys because then it's real legal. No,
whatever,
right?
The age is, okay. They say they are. Uh-huh. I brought up the movie. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Megan.
Yeah.
It's a very scary movie.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I've not seen it.
Okay.
Our decoy is a robot.
In that movie, a 9-year-old AI. Girl played a 9-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. If you go back to The Exorcist and all that stuff, they have the age of the person that is portraying the role, portray the role. And I just think, there's more charges that could be leveled because I talked to Mark Garagos about this. I was like, well, what if the decoy was actually 20 and you thought you were talking to a 15-year-old, but you could argue that I knew that this person was older and this was a game, role-playing, and the person actually
was. And people
was
try to argue that very rarely, if ever, successful, by the way.
But get an actual 9-year-old in there.
If that doctor grabbed the butt of a 9-year-old.
More charges. That's what I'm saying. So, God, this is – so is there more of this now than when you started or less, or can you gauge it?
I think there's more based upon the fact that the number of social media platforms upon which this activity can take place has exploded.
And do you think this is a disease, essentially, like let's just not call it spina bifida, but you know, they're men, seems like mostly men, a lot of men. There's a lot of men that engage in sexual behavior that is not down the beaten path.
Right.
It is, I just like role playing. I like dressing up like this. I like, I like more than one person, you know, sexually in the room and stuff. Do you think it's not that we're dismissing it or condoning it, but do we think, like, you wouldn't say to someone who's gay, hey, come on, that's not right. Like right. Not knock it off. And it would have worked 50 years ago.
And we're not making moral judgments here. This is a case where men are trying to get with children, and that is clearly illegal. That's a line we've drawn in society that we're not going to allow because children are not capable of giving consent until a certain age. So if a guy tries to get with a child and tries to fulfill this fantasy, whether it's fueled by a mental illness or just a lack of discipline, or you know, the guy just gets off on younger kids, that's illegal. It's a very clear cut here. This isn't a gray area of, you know, adults doing different things with other adults. We have no business there.
Right.
This is children. This is protecting children.
Which, you know, I have mixed feelings on. But what I'm saying is no, I get it. But psychologically, do you just think it's an affliction? Like,
I think in some cases there's not a single point failure here in a man's mind when this crime takes place. Some people are wired that way for whatever reason. They're just bad, predatory pedophiles, and nothing's going to change that. There are opportunists who see the world in gray, who think, okay, this is a Romeo and Juliet situation. If it works out, she'll ultimately be old enough to legally take part in this relationship. And there are guys in the middle who know better, who are turned on by somebody who's underage, and in spite of knowing better, they act anyway. And the question in the middle cases, I think in the most extreme, you got to lock them up, be monitored forever. In the cases of the young guys, probation, treatment will work often. The guys in the middle, it's not so clear cut.
You said you did four recently?
We did four guys showed up in 5 hours night before last.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the batting average on showing up?
You never know. I mean, we've done six-day investigations and have had two guys show up. We've done one-day investigations and have had, you know, eight or nine. You never really know what's going to happen. And it's dependent on a lot of different factors. And I'm not sure that I know all of them, but I know some areas are, you know, more apt to show more men showing up. And you get what lives there. I mean, if you're near Disney World, you're going to find two Disney employees. If you're near a military base, you're going to find some guys who work at the military base, you know?
Disney employees, but not in costume.
We've never had one show up, you know, as Mickey or Pluto or...
So it's not
Donald
during the break.
Have a seat, Pluto.
The beast. Yeah, the beauty's not here. I've got bad news.
So do you I've heard you say in an interview, like, sometimes word gets out that that house is the same house. Is there a community? Like, do these guys know each other?
No. And that is only – we suspect that happened in one case in Ohio years ago because we had a situation where nobody showed up from the local town and everybody showed up, you know, from an hour or 2 hours away. So we think that's what happened. But we keep it pretty close for obvious reasons. So, you know, it would be difficult for word to get out unless a guy got busted and was able to get online and say something. But those guys go to jail. In the early days of doing these investigations, we didn't collaborate with law enforcement. So in the first two investigations we did, these guys would just leave. Now, law enforcement would make a case later in some instances, but not always. Most recently, and over the last 15, 16 years, we've always collaborated to make sure there's some, you know, sense of social responsibility and justice here.
Right. You guys sound so much alike. I was thinking...
that was Kyle answering that question.
Yeah, I'd like to answer that since I'm Chris Hansen.
Yeah, Kyle, you take that one.
All right.
I'm thinking I might close my eyes and just have you guys randomly
which is
just
say, real
just
handsome.
Experience.
But just let's not make a whole thing out of it. Just say the word penis.
All right, we'll
just
go
sort of randomly, or you know, someone could say twice in a row, sex, right. Penis, and you know, like we'll I said, Chris, you could say three times in a row to screw me up. You know, all right. I could see. All right, I'm going to close my eyes.
All right, just penis and sex. We'll see.
All right.
Max.
Go on, Kyle.
Penis.
Chris, yeah.
Penis.
Ooh, penis. Penis is closer than sex. I got.
Hey, close your eyes, man.
All right,
open his eyes.
Eyes. All right, all right.
Having sex with a penis.
Cool, K-E-W-L.
Have a seat. You're free to go.
That's Kyle.
Kyle's a pervert.
Would you like a Subway sandwich?
Okay. Oh, my God.
You did pretty well there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Chris, I know I talked to you about this before, but I can't recall now. You started off just doing news, right?
Yeah, I started off in local news, Lansing, Tampa, Detroit, and then went to NBC in 93 and worked for a show called Now with Tom Brokaw and Katie Couric. It was one of the correspondents, and did a lot of breaking news and crime news and enterprise news. And then they merged with Dateline. But, you know, most of my stories have been, and most of my projects over the years, and even counting today, have been other things, not the Predator investigation.
Right.
You know, I've got 10 Emmys. None of them are for Predator. But having said that, people expect me to do this sort of work, and they expect me to go out there and do these sting operations. And I accept that responsibility as part of my portfolio. And as long as we can do them, we're going to do them.
Mm. When did you realize, oh, I have a really cool voice? Was there a moment?
Here's the funny thing. I've had no less than three news directors over the years send me to consultants to make my voice more homogenous, more FM. And you know, I've taken the classes and learned from them, but I've always kept the same sort of, I don't know whether
what
it's Midwest.
What were they trying to do to it?
I'd just make it, I don't know,
well,
more
look,
similar to other broadcast voices, I suppose.
Wrong. Let me make this analogy. When I was young, there was a model, and the model was, and I'm talking about like a fashion model, a spokesmodel,
sure,
commercial actress. there was a prototype.
Yeah.
And that was a very slender, good-looking, white, oftentimes blonde woman. And they all just looked like Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched. And she would stand next to you at the boat show. She would be in the commercial for the detergent. She'd be in every commercial. And we just had a model. The model was skinny and white, pretty, long hair. You turn on the TV now, and it's all shapes and sizes, which I don't like, by the way. But there's a lot of diversity in it, but a lot of also fat, a lot of heifers as well,
yeah,
with the nose piercings and a lot of other shit, yeah, I don't want to see. But we don't have a model anymore at all. Lizzo is a model on the Dove commercial, you know, the stuff that was unheard of. And so also, there was one voice for the men. There was a kind of a look. There was a hairstyle.
Madison Avenue.
There was just... It's what was. So the program directors would be like, look, if you want to be on TV or you want to be on radio,
yeah,
here's the voice you use because this is the voice we use. And sports broadcasting, same way. We didn't have all the personalities and the John Maddens and everything else. It was just like this. So early in everyone's career, they would try to talk you out of whatever your unique sound was and push you into, you want to be a spokesmodel, learn to walk with a book on your head. And that's
right,
that's how they did it. So Chris has been around long enough to have been pushed into that. Now,
I don't think it goes on. I think people's, you know, individuality and the interesting, you know, different qualities, you know, it's celebrated. And you know, my son, who's a reporter in Orlando, I mean, his voice is way better than mine coming out of the gate. You know, he's a better looking kid than I was coming out of the gate. But it's still unique to him. And I wouldn't try to change him and say, you've got to sound more like, you know, this or that. I mean, you are who you are. As long as people like to listen to it, then you're fine.
Yeah.
All right. We need to take a quick break. I think when we come back, Kyle's going to try on some of his characters coming into one of the bait houses and being confronted by Chris. Okay. I also have a overall question for Chris about news, and we'll do that right after this. Let me tell you about Angie. Angie's List is now Angie, and they've made it easier than ever to get all your home projects done right. I use Angie. Yep, what? You, Adam, you can do most everything Angie can do. True, but I'm busy, and I travel, and I have a schedule. So I'll let Angie do a lot of the stuff I don't have time to do or it doesn't make sense to do. 20-plus years of home service experience, and they're combined with the new tools to simplify the entire process. So make it easy. On the Angie app, just answer a few questions. They'll handle the rest. See ratings and reviews, compare quotes from local pros, and connect instantly. Cross items off the to-do list in just a few taps. Whether it's routine maintenance or a dream remod, well, Angie makes it easy. Right, Dawson?
Get your next project done right with the help of a pro from Angie. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Why? You're free to go, by the way. You're free to go. You're free to go. The door's right there.
Why shot guy wearing a Fresno PD windbreaker out on the lawn?
That's not up to me, whether it's police out there. That's not up to me. You're free to go.
But that guy was, like, standing on the lawn with a Fresno PD windbreaker, right? Could I go out the other door?
I'd rather you didn't. And that's not up to me. But you can go out this door. That's the way
Sorry, I can leave now?
Yeah, you're free to go. It's not up to what's out there.
It could be the cops.
Now
Kyle Dunnigan and Chris Hansen are on the Adam Carolla Show.
So before we have, you know, Stallone or Trump or God knows who come through that front door, but I want to ask Chris a more global question because, as he stated, he'd started out in news and been in news for a million years. Do you have an assessment as to what is going on with the news today? Because especially after COVID, I was like, what's going on with the investigations? How come they're not asking questions? There seems to be a sort of narrative. It's a kind of mainstream legacy narrative. Somebody just, for example, decided COVID came from a wet market, and they all went, okay, that's what we're doing. And I didn't see ABC battling with CNN or MSNBC or ABC or the New York Times or LA Times. They're all just sort of signed off on some government narrative that nobody really investigated. It was kind of unknowable at the time.
Right.
And they all just sort of took some marching orders and just sort of ran with it on a million different COVID aspects.
Well, I don't think they took marching orders from the government or any particular administration or official or network official or anything like that. I think generally reporters are not as independently aggressive in staying on one topic and beat and running it down till its logical end.
So no, I don't.
We get attracted by the loudest noise in the room. And so, okay, COVID, wet market versus lab release, if lab release, was it intentional or was it a mistake, and what's being covered up here? And I think when the subject came back around, you saw a lot of exploration there. But I think there has been perhaps a lack of enterprise reporting on having a reporter assigned to just that for one of the networks.
But how did I'm not saying the
it's
White
not a conspiracy
House. No, no, I'm not saying
like
conspiracy. How did they all arrive at the same conclusion if it was unknowable?
Well, I don't know that they said this is definitively
happened. They all arrived at the same place.
Right. They report what different agencies say. And I think a lot of people came to the conclusion that it was, at least initially, a wet market. Although people, if you look carefully, left it open that it could have been something else. If you have common sense, you also have to wonder if they're working on this in a lab and it takes a long time for something like this to genetically mutate out of a wet market, doesn't it make more sense given the virulent spread this came from a lab? It was already a monster that was ready to attack and kill people. To me, I never discounted, and again, this has not been necessarily in the purview of my reporting. I watch it closely. But I don't know that everybody gave up and said, okay, never mind, don't pay attention to it. It's not this. They follow the releases of information that people gather. And you saw last week it turned toward it being a lab release.
Yeah, after 2.5 years
I get that,
horrible reporting. Well, how did they all land in the same place? Lab leak,
evidence,
ivermectin,
right.
Hydrochloroquine, every single facet of it, they all were in lockstep in the same place with the same information that turned out to be incorrect. How did we end up that way? Why wasn't NBC and CBS sort of battling with different narratives?
I think there should be more aggressive enterprise reporting. I agree with you, but I'm not buying into the fact that there's some cabal that's forcing everybody to stay in lockstep. I don't believe that, and I've seen no evidence to indicate that's true. I've seen a lot of conspiratorial theories from one side or the other going both ways. I think there's a lack of aggressive enterprise reporting in general, and
but,
especially in the areas where you talked about during this. It's a lack of resources.
But that doesn't totally explain why they all ended up on the same page.
Because they take the information that is made available,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if the best information available on that day comes from the CDC, then that's what's accepted and reported. If it comes from intelligence sources, the CIA, for instance, that's what's reported. If it's the State Department, if it's Fauci, whatever it is, that's what's in the news cycle. And we don't spend enough time, to your point, independently spending the resources to go out and say, okay, we're going to create a unit. And I don't want to see you guys until you come back with something that's definitive. And it doesn't have to be this. We're not giving you the end of the story, but go out and get it. You used to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see it anymore. And I suspect that it comes down to economics, not a political standpoint, a political viewpoint.
I disagree.
Well, I respect that.
I think the fact that they were so lockstep on every facet of this suggests
I understand it.
Some politicizing of it, but not a decree or not a cabal.
Right.
Like I don't think it was
it's
a cloak and dagger thing.
It's been politicized, by the way. There's no question. Of course.
I suspect my feeling of my theory of what went on is most of these organizations just hated Trump. So if he said this, they said that. That was like if he said up, they said down. If he said right, they said left. And they just kind of ran with it. And sometimes they're right and oftentimes they're wrong. But when it came to COVID, I feel like it got very politicized very early. And I feel like a lot of news outlets just went, we're going the other direction. Whatever he said, like he's like, came from China, came from the lab. This works.
But we
got
a lot of mixed messages from the administration there too. I mean, some things went very well. You know, the speedy operation to bring this virus, to bring the shots, the vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was impressive, and nobody will say anything else. You may have your feeling about whether the vax or mRNA is the right way to go, but it saved lives, and the administration, through you know Operation Warp Speed, got it done like no other administration has done. Now, there's a lot of other areas where it was a mess.
I'm just saying for me, I don't know where everyone else is at, but the WHO, CDC, White House and or mainstream media, my trust
I'm not
is at
defending.
An all-time
I'm not defending.
Low with
I'm not,
all those
I'm not
people, Fauci,
it.
Whomever. Like
right.
I'm no longer listening to those people. I listen to them and then I'll go, let's see what everyone else has to say.
I think that's a wise way to proceed.
In your history of being in the media, can you recall any times when you thought like, oh, there's some corruption or the media got it wrong in this instance?
Well, I think there have been times where everybody's been in a panic and everybody's looking for answers quickly. And I think maybe the media has been a little slow on pursuing different aspects of this, being overly cautious. And you got to say, look, let's report everything and let's let some people make a decision. But let's hold these people accountable and press them for answers that make sense.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes there's a tendency to say, okay, well, so-and-so from the government said this. It must be true. And I think it's our responsibility as journalists to press.
I think
– and to be skeptics.
An easy rule of thumb is if you want to know what the truth is about any particular case or COVID or anything of that nature, you just watch The View – and you do the exact opposite of whatever their opinion is on any case.
Now, don't be so hard on my girls.
Your batting average will be – you could watch 3,000 hours of their take on COVID. Do the opposite. Your batting average will be through the roof. They were wrong about every single thing that came out of those Yentas' mouths. Every single one.
It might not be your best news show. It's more daily talk show.
Listen, I do the same with my own family. Whatever they do, I just do the opposite. And the streets are lined with gold. All right. So, Kyle.
Yes.
Do you have a character that you're thinking of? That perhaps
sure.
You don't have to tell us.
Okay, yeah.
You can simply,
do we get to guess it?
Simply knock on the door. Well, you're going to know it when it comes through the door because you're going to interview him.
Wait, can Chris play the decoy?
No, Chris decoy.
Chris.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, there's another Chris? I'll play the decoy.
Okay.
No, wait, Chris, you do a little girl voice, right?
Yeah. You have like laundry.
You are now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You know how to play the decoy? All right. Knock on
knock,
the door.
Knock, knock. Open the door, please. I traveled a long way, very long way to be here.
Hello. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
You're a lot fatter than you looked online. A lot fatter than your picture.
That was an old picture.
Okay.
Why don't we head over into the kitchen?
All righty. You going to do some laundry there?
It's on the way to the laundry room, sure.
What are you, a six?
In age?
Yes. No, size.
Seven.
Jesus Christ. Hey, could I try some of these disgusting stale brownies?
Of course.
Okay, terrific. Yeah.
And I have some Subway sandwiches here for you, too.
I don't like those. A disgusting sandwich. I like Jersey Mike's.
All right, why don't you just hang in here?
Jersey Mike's. Excuse me, sir.
Oh, shit.
Sir, I'm going to need you in that long red tie to go have a seat right over there.
Look,
go tuck yourself in there.
Look, I know who you are. Chris Hansen.
You know who I am.
Yes, I had a
feeling.
How
do you know who I am?
I've seen the shows.
And your Secret Service agents aren't going to help you this time, sir.
Look, I was just here to talk to her.
No.
Yes.
I've got the transcripts. I've got the transcripts right here.
Look, those fake news, fake transcripts. I was just coming to mentor her, okay?
Mentor her.
Yes.
And what's this about golden shower?
Golden showers. That's a Trump shower. We take golden flakes and we sprinkle it on her fat little head. Trump showers. So terrific.
And what do you have in that bag there, sir?
That is a dildo, not for the girl. Okay?
Not for the girl.
Not for the girl. That's for Trump. Trump's dildo. It's also gold.
And what about these Big Macs?
Those are for me as well.
For you?
Yes.
And the French fries?
You could have one. Okay? You could have one.
And the hairspray?
That's also mine. Okay?
Why do you need such a big can of hairspray?
Because I have a hair problem. Okay, we all know this. You have terrific hair, Chris. Very great hairline. Thick. Maybe plugs. I don't know. It's too terrific. It's too good.
And you say here you want to wrap a long red silk tie.
Yes, red tie, yes.
Around your wrists.
Yes. Tie me up. Call me daddy.
And feed me Big Macs.
Yes. This is all mentoring. Okay. Am I free to go? What's happening?
No, I'll get to that in a minute.
Who are you? You're dad?
I'm not the dad. I'm Chris Hansen.
Oh, shit, right. Oh, I forgot. I knew that from the beginning. I forgot I have dementia.
You just have dementia? Touch.
Yes. I thought I was talking to a dog, so a 13-year-old dog is 176.
What do you think Melania is going to say about all this?
Who cares? It's over. That's a sham marriage, okay? Everyone knows this.
And what do you think this is going to do to your reelection campaign?
Look, no one cares. No one cares. This will probably help my ratings, most likely.
What do you think Ron DeSantis is going to say about you walking into this house
in
Florida?
Who cares about Ron DeSantis? Is that how you say his name?
DeSantis.
DeSantis. Who was that guy? Where's that fat decoy?
Well, if you have anything else you'd like to say, I'd like to hear it. Otherwise, you're free to go.
Okay, are there cops outside?
That's not up to me.
That's not up to you. I think it is.
Well,
I very much do.
I think it's time for you to go. We have another guest coming.
Okay, terrific.
Go ahead.
I'm slowly leaving.
Take the bag.
Taking my dildo and Big Macs with me.
Scene. Really, very dramatic.
Nice job.
Wow.
Well done.
What a pro, Chris.
Chris really good.
Chris was
really
riffing.
It's like I have almost done it before.
I know. It's a natural.
I just did it the night before last in real life.
You know what I would do if I were one of the producers of your show? And let me give it a plug, Takedown. I would and is it is the show just called Takedown?
It's Takedown with Chris Hansen, and it airs on our streaming crime network, True Blue. So that's TRUBLU. Watch TrueBlue.com for details.
Sorry, because I got Takedown, show updating to catch a predator.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Yeah, Takedown is the new predator investigation.
Takedown's good. I've watched some takedowns. It's really good.
We have about 25, 26 of them up there.
Yeah, they're good.
Can I tell you what I would do if I was one of the producers? Because sets are pretty famous for jokes. You know, there's a lot of practical jokes and goofs. And I was on The Man Show. We did our fair share of sort of goofs on on sets.
I've seen them.
And, you know, you have a very tension-filled set.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to cut the tension once in a while with some comedy. I would do, if I was one of your producers, I would find your son. I would tell him, listen, we need you over at the safe house about 8:05. And I would set up a whole ruse where he just walked through and you were hiding in the broom closet. And you're like, that voice sounds familiar. Yeah. And then you just walked out and he was just standing there.
That'd really be the greatest moment
in TV ever.
That is a great idea.
Perfect.
Well, you also had a good idea about the pizza. You want to tell Chris about that? Pizza man.
I think I may have shared this with him, but – I'm not looking to give tips to pedophiles.
No.
Just,
but yeah.
But
I have an idea too, by the way, which I'll share after yours, which I think might be better than your pizza guy idea.
As I was rolling into what was either the house the young girl lived in or it was the actual house where Chris Hansen lived in and was going to bus me, I always said when I got about 20 minutes outside of the house, outside of town, I would just call in Domino's. I would order a small cheese pizza. I would have it delivered, and I would time it for the time I was pulling up, and I would pull up 2 minutes early, and I would just sit in my car, and if the door opened and I saw a boom mic or someone who didn't look right or my spidey sense started tingling, I'd just drive off. But if everything seemed to be on the up and up, then I got a pizza waiting for me.
Oh, you would be the pizza guy. I thought you sent the pizza guy.
No, I would send the pizza guy. I would send the pizza guy.
You should be the pizza guy.
Oh, that's a better.
And then you're like, oh no,
you're right.
Pizza.
Like, there was a comedian who said he did a lot of driving drunk. And I said, like, how'd you get away with that? And he said he'd put a Domino's pizza delivery thing
on.
So he'd go to the party, get blasted, then go to the trunk of the car, put the Domino's delivery thing, because no one pulls over the Domino's delivery guy. It looks like he's looking for an address or something. But you're right. Dress as the Domino's guy.
Now, Chris, you decide who's got a better plan. And we're not trying to give perverts an out.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Right. We are so careful, and we've got so much surveillance set up that we can see down the street on both ways. So if we see a Domino's guy show up and we didn't order the pizza, now we're going to be suspicious.
Mm-hmm. But
so we'd have the decoy open the door and say either we didn't order pizza, thank you very much, or take the pizza and give her some money to pay for it. And
we
play along.
I got a hole in that because I'm the pizza guy. And again, don't do this, but I got an emergency. I got to use your restroom. Now, if you're going, no, then I'm like, I'm out of here. This is sting.
Maybe.
So hey, how about this idea? And you tell me which is a better one for a pedophile to do. They want to
Kyle wants to play a round table pizza guy. I'm a Domino's.
This is like, meet the best for predators.
I would do this. I'd come to the house with a film crew, and I'm busting people, trying to bust people, and we're doing an investigation on you.
Well, I told you about that thing with David Spade, right? Spade did a punk show, you know, years ago.
Wait, sorry, who did?
David Spade.
Oh, Spade, sorry.
Spade. So Spade does this show, and they call and say, would you help us out with this? I said, great. And so they get a kid, you know, from Starbucks or something, and they say, look, we need you to be a character in our show. There's been a girl catfishing guys, and we're going to send you in with a backpack, a hidden camera, and we're going to get you to expose her. So the kid's all excited. Big break in television. And he walks in, and Decoy's there. I'll be right back. Then I walk out in the living room. And so there's a total mind twist, right? So the kid's like, wait a minute, I'm here for a show. I said, well, you're in my show now. And he can't figure it out. And he goes, what do you mean? And he's about to attack me because, you know, and they got a guy dressed as a cop and the whole thing set up. I said, what's in the backpack? And vodka and condoms. Well, I didn't put it in there. Oh, you didn't put it in there. It was a twisted moment.
It was great. Yeah. After, now, I have a decoy question. These are actresses you find, like, locally?
We've done that. Now we use typically members of law enforcement. So it's a young deputy or police cadet who's of age but looks very young and plays the role. Now, the online decoy work can be done by anybody because it's just, you know, communicating.
In the 19 years, has any of the actresses sort of gotten work as an actor?
Discovered?
Gotten famous?
I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. We had Casey Morrow from New Jersey. We rented this house on the Jersey Shore, and the producer says to the guy who owns the house, family owns the house, said, do you know anybody who's 18, 19, 20, who looks younger, who's in theater or performance? Yeah, my daughter. So we hired the daughter. And then she stayed with us for multiple investigations. Oh. She was that good. She, I think she's like doing fitness and yoga. She's got a pretty good business going. But I can't think of anybody who's actually gone on to, you know, star in their own reality show. It's not like American Idol.
Jennifer Aniston.
I had a weird, real sort of surreal moment like you had with the David Spade situation when I was a little kid. I was like 12, 13 years old. That's about 12, 13. And the show Emergency was a big
Oh, sure. Hit. I remember Emergency.
Great. Yeah. Great theme song.
Yeah.
Bum, ba-da-dum, bum, bum, ba-da-da-da. Big, exciting guys played the firemen, paramedics, sure. Things blowing great up show. All the time. And I was walking to school to Walter Reed Elementary. I guess I must have been in the seventh grade. And there was a L.A. fire truck, the sort of, it's not an ambulance, it's a sort of paramedics
right.
truck, you
right.
know.
Big wagon.
Big wagon. That's had side things on it and everything. And it was parked on Colfax in North Hollywood. And it was like parked in front of a house. It was on the street, but it was parked in front of this house where I kind of knew the kid in the house. And I was turned the corner. I was walking up behind it. And I thought, geez, what happened? Did somebody get injured or drown in the pool or something like that? And I poked my head into the open window on the passenger side. I just want to go, like, what is there a problem? What's yeah. going on in the yeah. neighborhood? And it was the two guys who starred in it, Gage and DeSoto, the two actors, were just sitting in it. And I poked my head in and I was like, is there you? You guys are for real? Like, because there was no cameras, there was no lights, there was no anything. And I was like, you guys are for real? Like, you're actual paramedics. What's going on inside the house? And the guy just goes, get away from the truck. And I go, okay. And I keep walking down the sidewalk, and the truck like pulls out, and it just hauls ass down the street. And I'm like, Gage and DeSoto, like a couple of real paramedics who they don't look like actors. By the way, neither one of them acted before or after. So yeah. the Randolph Kindtooth or something, Mantooth. Randolph Mantooth was one of the guys.
That sounds familiar.
They're like
yeah.
two dudes who've never, they weren't, they didn't even make it onto Love Boat. They did nothing. So I was like, these guys are assholes, but they're actual paramedics, but the show actually has two real pair, and they just took off down the street, and I just kept walking down the sidewalk the same direction, and I then came upon an independent market called Topper's Market, which was on the corner of North Hollywood, and they just came pulling on to the set. So it's like what they needed is about a block of runway.
Ramp up time.
And yeah. then they just come hauling ass oh. in, and then the cameras were set up, and it was just a shot where they jumped out of the car and yelled into their talkie and ran out of shot. But I had no context yeah. for it because I couldn't see it. Who was it? Randolph?
Yeah, Randolph Mantooth and Kevin Tai was the other guy. Roy DeSoto and John Cage.
The two guys that have never worked again who did not look like primetime Hollywood. You yeah. know, they didn't look like Dan Tana at all. They look like paramedics, and that was it for them.
I remember that show, though.
Yeah, I remember. I heard, like, Bob Saget and John Stamos would do that. Like, they would just, like, find themselves in the bathroom just peeing, and they'd see a guy walk in, so they would play their characters and talk to each other from Full House. Like, DJ's bummed she didn't get a date to prom again. Yeah.
You want to try one more character, Kyle?
Who would be in there? Jeff Goldblum?
You can, yeah. Well,
anyone you want.
You got Dr. Fauci.
You can pick whoever you want.
Hello. Hello, little girl. Hey, I'm a doctor here. Do you mind if I sit down?
Yeah, come on in.
Can I ask if you're fully boosted there? Did you get all the boosters and the things there in your arm?
I think so, yeah. I got like three of the shots.
Okay. Yeah,
thanks. Why don't you head on into the kitchen and I'll meet
why
you
why don't there. You shut the fuck up and take off your pants?
I'm sorry.
Whoa, shit.
Is it Fauci?
Yeah, I'm a Fauci. Doctor. What of it?
In your yeah. first name?
Hey, doctor, none of your business. Who are
doctor,
you?
Doctor, none of your business.
Who are you, a dad?
I'll get
or
to
what?
That in a minute.
Okay.
All right. I need you and your stethoscope to have a seat right over there.
You're going
to
take my stethoscope from
I don't
me?
Know. We'll see here in a minute. Yeah. What do you mean by I want to give you a big Italian booster?
Look, that was talking about my penis dares, but using the penis dares as the needle.
Using the penis the as the needle for the
yeah, booster. I was just, you talking to her over there, I sent
how old
my
are you?
Day.
I think I'm 94.
94. And it's, you thought it was okay to come over here and give a booster to a girl who said she was 13?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, medical...
In the middle of a pandemic.
Well, you know, there's
without a mask on.
Well, now, hold on there. There's a lot of health benefits there with the proteins whatnot.
Seducing a 13-year-old girl for sex?
Well, she came on to me first there.
She's not wearing a mask either.
Yeah, no, she's not. Hey, if you want in on this, we could probably figure out something there.
I think the only one who's going to be in on this is the law enforcement authorities.
Hey, whoa, outside. Hey, no, yes, I'm a little connected there, pal, don't you?
I don't know how connected you are.
You'd be surprised what the fuck I could do, pal.
You get back in the chair. Yeah. Let me see your hands.
Hey, let me
keep
see
your hands, where
hands pal.
Hey,
no,
oh, you'll see my hands in
my
a
gun.
All right.
This is called a gun. It's called a Smith & Wesson. Here.
Well... I've
hey, you look like you're
news,
sniffling.
Doctor.
Are you all right?
I'm just fine, thank you.
You got your booster?
No, I've got my booster.
All right.
You're going about to get a booster here, sir. Dr. Anthony Fauci, is it?
Yeah, it's Anthony. I'm Italian there, and I say things like more. I say the word more wrong and things like this. That's all.
And your screen
I'm
going
to leave. Yeah, my screen name is Bona95. What of it?
Okay. And you think it's appropriate for a government employee?
Yeah, you know, we got to see what's going on with the kids there. Hey, look, I'm going to take off now.
All right.
All right.
There's some people who want to talk to you outside.
Eh?
There's what? Some people who want to talk to you outside.
Who they? Who's
You'll
that?
You'll find
there?
Out. In
some
a
little kids there?
No, little kids.
Oh. All right.
Investigators with the CDC.
Oh, shit. All right. Bye.
Bye now.
That's nice at the end. He said bye, you know.
I love my favorite Chris Hansen is you're free to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're free to go, but you're not free to go.
Are well, you free to go or free to leave? I can't remember.
I think I've used both,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending mm-hmm. what mood I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But the lawyers like that because it's not like we're trying to hold them against their will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of this now... Again, you know, one of the guys who showed up night before last, he had asked in the chat, is this a predator investigation?
Right.
Mention me by name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's never going to you know? Go – doesn't help you at all to ask that.
No, it doesn't. See, there's this whole misunderstanding, and it started in drug sting operations years ago. There was this theory that if you ask, if this is an undercover cop, they have to tell you. And if they don't tell you, they can't make the case, which is, I don't know where that came from.
I think it came from, or at least I heard it with prostitutes, that if you ask the prostitute if she was undercover, whatever, she didn't say it.
How do you know this, Adam?
yeah, what are you doing here? Yeah,
I interviewed a lot of Johns. Wait, now
it's,
it's stereo Chris Hansen?
No, it's Charles.
Oh, his brother.
Brother John.
Oh, okay. So listen, fellas. You know, I don't want to turn the tables on myself, but, you know, I used to host a show called Loveline.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Loveline, yeah.
Loveline. Is that what you call
yes.
it?
Yeah. And
I bet there was more than love going on that line.
And a different sort of line as well.
I tried to help. Young
help.
You were trying to help.
Confused.
The only
sometimes.
Thing you were helping was yourself to jail.
I know. I listen. These were oftentimes younger.
How young exactly?
Man, what are you talking about?
I couldn't tell over the phone.
Time now, Chris. This is when the show actually devolved into chaos. Right?
Some of them were in high school, I imagine, but I was
the only thing you'll be imagining is a jail cell closing in your face.
No, my tutorship. I think you called. I was trying
the
to.
The only
offer
thing you should be tutoring is how to get someone.
A mature, steady hand to help
the
them.
The only thing you'll be handed is a subpoena for your arrest.
A guiding light, so to speak, of experience and knowledge.
The only place you'll be guided is the county jail for sex.
I heard, Chris can look it up, other Chris, jailbait Chris.
Hey.
I heard that it was with prostitutes where you had
maybe that's where it started.
Ask them, and yeah. But listen, I would the way there's a very unique human wiring, which is when I would do crank yankers calls. what would always work for me, and everyone else had their own techniques of trying to fool the people they're on. Sometimes they would try to employ different things. But what I would always do is I would start off with something insane, and then they would say, come on, is this – you're pulling my leg. This isn't a real call. And so it would be really easy. I'd just call up. I'd go, I have a wife. She's morbidly obese. She's 900 pounds. She's confined to a sofa, and she's getting lap band surgery. But the hospital is 3 miles from my house, and the insurance will pay for the surgery, but it won't pay for the ambulance ride from the house to the hospital. And that's why I'm calling your moving company. And I see you have stake bed trucks, and I can operate a forklift. And I don't see why I couldn't just blow out the bay window in the front living room. I can go ahead and forklift her right on the back of the stake bed truck. We'll flag her. We'll use tie downs. We'll just get her down the street. It'll save me, you know, $2,800. You know, a short move for you guys. And then they would say, "Come on, this a gag. This you're BSing me." And then I would say, "I wish I was. I wish I was making this up." And then we'd go right on to how I was going to drug her with Robitussin and knock her down. She comes up. She's a fighter. So I'll try to keep her down. I'll be in the back of the stake bed with her with the Robitussin. And do you have furniture pads or bubble wrap? Like, and once I just said, "I wish."
Well, you tip your hand to it.
We just go right down.
Because you ally their concerns.
Right.
You address it.
You connect emotionally, too. You've angered this emotion.
I think
I'm scared to break that.
I think I bonded with him. He's find anything?
It's all an urban legend.
That's all.
Yeah, they can lie as much as they want to get what they need. Yeah.
Well, how would undercover work in general go if you couldn't lie?
Right.
Because every time a guy walked into the room and went, "Here's one of my guys from New Jersey," I'd go, "Are you a cop?" And he'd go, "No." And I'd go, "All right, you know." I'd ask that to everyone who walked into the deli I was working out of as a drug salesperson.
I'm always curious about men sending their penis pics, because as far as I know, women don't even like it.
I've talked about this on the podcast, and the Predators I've Caught podcast. It's like, who thinks that that's going to be attractive to anybody who may have an intimate relationship with you anyway? I mean, how did that even get started?
It's definitely got to – they get off that they saw their penis as the thing?
Yeah.
No, I think what it is with men who are less evolved have a sexual approach that basically mimics their own – likes and desires. So as men evolve and they get
from
smarter, well, I used to give this cat dog analogy, which is men are kind of dogs and women are sort of cats sexually. And so what dogs like, and I was just on banging, choose my words more closely. I was just wrestling around my 110-pound lab, Phil. And what Phil likes is I grab him, I roll him over, I start smacking his belly and wrestling with his jowls, you know, and he's, you know, and I grab him, and then he gets up and paws at me, and then I chase him around, and it's visceral. But if you have a cat, and you come running in to try to grab the cat and flip the cat over and start smacking its belly.
Or sending it dick pics.
Yes, cat's on top of the refrigerator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cat, you sit there, you wait, the cat gets curious, it comes to you at a certain point, it'll rub against your shin, it'll apply a little pressure where it kind of likes it on the side, you add a little pressure back, but you don't pop up and grab it, you'll freak the cat out. So, guys, when they're young, being dogs, we think that that's how sex is. That's what the partner's going to like. The partner's going to like rough and fast and big and loud and sweaty. But the reality is they want what the cat wants.
Right.
And the dudes who figure it out realize I can't come bounding in like a Saint Bernard. I got to – but I imagine – Because what's a cat do when someone starts running around? They jump on the refrigerator. They
Which
just
is what women do.
Yeah, they go, I'm getting on top of this refrigerator, and I'm not coming down until this kid leaves the house. So dick pics are sent by dudes who think like dogs and are immature and unevolved. And they go, yeah. I would love it if some chick sent me pictures of her titties. So I am going to use that logic, take a picture of my hog, and send it to them. It's just unevolved.
That makes sense.
The guys who do the best with chicks are the guys who figured out they're not dogs, they're cats. Mm-hmm. Treat them as such. Don't show a lot of interest, lay back, walk into the room and pretend they're not even there. And then if they come around, apply a little bit of pressure, but no sudden movements.
Yeah.
Can't do a sudden movement.
Show them your bank
finesse.
Account.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think you nailed it. That sounds about right.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, we should
We're
take
the experts.
A break. We can come back. We can do some news. You guys can hang in if you can.
Absolutely.
And we'll tackle the day's news right after this. Blue Nile. Love these guys. Whether you're just the romantic or you're ready to pop the question, find jewelry as unique as she is at BlueNile.com. Even create the custom engagement ring for her dreams. Blue Nile's simple online tools let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting. Blue Nile's diamond price guarantee allows you to compare competitors' diamonds against theirs. Blue Nile can even meet or beat their price. So look out, competition. Blue Nile's the new kid on the block. Every order is insured and arrives quickly in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside because you want it to be a surprise. So, shipping is free, and so are returns with Blue Nile. Right, Dawson?
Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off BlueNile.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
As we celebrate 14 years of podcasting, here's another memorable moment from the Adam Carolla Show's Ace Awards archives.
What I'm hearing from you is that this woman's life means nothing to you, and you would like to murder her. Am I hearing you correct?
Oh, I think you're overstating what I'm saying. I'm simply going to get on an airplane. I'm going to Houston, Texas. We're playing the Improvs, Houston Improv. It'll be filled to half capacity, as it normally is when I do comedy shows. And we'll take all that money, and we're going to donate it to the Houston Food Bank. And yes, that night, I am going to go out and get a steak and a martini.
Okay, quick story. Okay. How about opening up too soon? My grandmother, she was in love with this man, and she opened up her legs too soon to him, and she became known as the town whore. Okay. This is what can happen to you, Mr. Carolla.
Now, for some new memorable moments, let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, okay. Is that...
That was Cuomo. I like hearing myself not knowing where I'm going with an improv in the middle of a sentence.
That was excellent.
You, Mr. Carolla.
Both you are gone. You and your brother were like the toast of the town.
What happened?
You'd come on TV every night yelling at misinformation about fucking COVID. You were wrong about all of it. And now, but you didn't get into trouble for... No. Well, you didn't get in trouble for reopening nursing.
I was in
nursing.
Trouble for something else. Maybe Chris Hansen knows about these things.
I don't even know what you did, though. Here's the beauty of our society.
I showed my penis.
You were wrong about all things COVID. You did not close down the nursing homes. People died because of it. Nobody gave two shits because everyone was on your side. And then at some point, you tap someone on the ass at a wedding, and now you're out. That's the beauty of our society.
Correct. That's correct. But I had beautiful shots. Wonderful shots.
And I do not care that you tap someone on the ass in a
Thank
wedding.
You. Thank you,
I
sir.
Don't. But I do
Neither
care
do I.
I do care that you're fucking horrible at your job. So
Thank you.
That part.
Well,
I
disappeared very quickly.
And your brother, remember there was all that crosstalk every night? It'd be not crosstalk, but your brother would be on
we
the show
rag
like,
on
making
each other.
Fun
yes.
of each other.
Yeah.
Well, Chris would refuse to report on his brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a great time. Good.
Blood
fuck both
is thicker
of you. I'm glad you're
rumors.
Both gone. You
Thank
both
you.
Did a horrible job. Good.
Yeah, they really are both very gone.
I would all. Love the there was a Mount Rushmore on the left. It was Cuomo brothers, and for a short time, Michael Avenatti. These are the two. Yeah. These are the three greatest Democrats on the planet. They'd come on The View, and their panties would drop, and they'd all go nuts, nuts, nuts. How'd it turn out? Where's Avenatti?
I think he's in jail for the rest of his life.
He's in prison right
he's
now.
He's in prison.
Yeah, I don't know about the rest of his life, but he's got a pretty
yeah,
long sentence.
Yeah, what was it? I don't know. What did he do wrong?
Well, he had the Nike deal. He had the he stole the money from the clients.
He was stealing money from Stormy.
Oh, right, Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels.
And normally, it's hard to steal money from strippers. It's easy to steal money from like white collar guys because you have a computer and you can mm-hmm. embezzle. But strippers, it's all singles.
Yeah.
So she wakes up the next day and goes, that pile got a lot lower.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting there with bulging pockets going, I don't know.
I think my first girlfriend was a stripper. Because of that, she just had so many ones.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then she said she'd go do shoe shows,
mm-hmm.
which I thought she was a shoe model. But then I heard later that that's like a term strippers use because they're only wearing shoes. So they call it a shoe show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure she was a stripper.
I'm sure her shoes would have been a tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The well, I think she hid the. The fancy ones.
See, the Lucite wedgies special, were not closet. Left out.
Yeah. It's clear. Pumps, whatever they wear.
Mm.
But anyway, not bragging. I just think I dated a stripper.
Yeah, and also
a lot of ones.
I guess he was skimming. I don't know, book deals
there were
or
four
whatever.
Or five things. Yeah. That they got him on. It the wasn't last, just a one-off.
The right. last thing in December, he was sentenced to 14 years for wire fraud and obstruction against the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh wait, this is one last thing about the stripper. Near her apartment, there was a strip club, and then there would be a TV out front that would just run clips of girls dancing. And she one day she goes, there's a girl on this video that looks exactly like me. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh,
and she goes, no. Like, it's crazy. She looks exactly like me.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay. So
it's clicking now.
For sure a stripper.
Wow.
So
but
terrific.
A lot of cash on hand.
She had a lot of ones. Didn't pay for much. I paid for most things.
Well, because it took too long. You know, the bill's $71. Yeah. Like, hold on. One.
And they're all sticking together.
Let me lick my finger.
The Uber's been outside for 5 minutes already.
There's no Ubers back then.
Now, where was this?
This is in New York, 1995 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a while ago.
Were her hours bizarre?
Yeah. We did a show on the weekends for like a – it was like a dinner theater awful show where we would just sing and do this Joey and Mary's Italian Wedding. It was just awful.
I saw that.
You did not.
I swear to God.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
what year?
Broadway.
Oh, okay. Oh, you saw Tony and Tina's.
Tony and Tina's.
This was a ripoff Joey and Mary's.
Oh.
We had to go in the tri-state area.
Oh, I
we
see.
Couldn't do Manhattan.
Yeah,
was
this
awful.
Was Manhattan.
Yeah, it was
sorry. Sorry, mister.
This was
bad enough what I did have to see. imagine.
The worst version.
They were basically the Hydrox cookie of off Broadway.
That's what they sell at Aldi.
We're a bunch of strippers. Just
one vowel off.
All right, what do you got there, Chris?
Well, I'm glad Chris is here because Patrick Wojan, the mayor of College Park, Maryland, just resigned after authorities arrested him on 56 counts of child pornography-related charges. He is in custody at the County Department of Corrections and will soon meet a commissioner who will make a determination on his bond or whether he will be held or whether he will be released on pretrial release. So a news release from the city says that he submitted his letter of resignation as mayor of the city effective immediately. And quote, Mayor Wojan has served in this position since 2015 and on council since 2007. The city of College Park thanks Mayor Wojan for his many years of dedicated service.
Let's not thank pedophiles, number one. Number two, there's two things. I know this is just sort of in the vernacular, and they go, well, thank you for a minute. Don't say that, number one. And let's stop calling horrible people gentlemen when we're doing the news. Oh, like sure. They go, the gentleman walked down to the subway, took a machete.
Seems toned down.
Then the gentleman hit the elderly Asian woman over the head with the machete and pushed her out on the tracks. Then the gentleman was arrested shortly thereafter while trying to rape a vending machine. Then the gentleman, like, don't, let's not use gentleman. Let's not thank pedophiles.
Yeah, yeah. Dilutes it. I agree with you.
And also, I think this guy had like hard drives and multiple phones, and it's going to be a treasure trove of horribleness in now, there. I'm
56
guessing.
Charges. Is that like every like child porn picture? Or like, how do you get 56 charges?
Well, it's probably like per image, because each image of a child being victimized is a crime.
So is that what that was? He had pictures, or did it say what he did?
It doesn't exactly say, just as 56 counts of.
The only thing he'll be counting are the days left when he gets out of jail. Oh, he does look like a perv.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Well, his attorney says he's, quote, cooperating fully with law enforcement.
Which means they tossed his phone and they found all this stuff.
Yeah. Did they? Here's fake Chris Hansen. They tossed his phone. Soon they'll be tossing his salad in prison. All right, here we go.
Tossing his salad.
Oh, come on. Do the whole thing. Come on.
Oh. From the beginning. The only thing.
No, they tossed his phone.
Oh, right. Sorry. Go back. Tossed his phone, and soon they'll be tossing his salad in prison.
Okay.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
Kyle doesn't like to be spoon fed material.
Well, nah, I just feel like I blew, you know, it was blown in the beginning.
Timing was a little off.
It was timing.
You want one more clean one? Let's try one more clean one.
He's plugging. All right, never mind.
Now he looks. The problem with pictures is if you took a picture of anybody except for George Clooney, and you said, this guy's a pedophile, and you'd show the picture, everyone goes, Oh, yeah, look at him. But I saw a picture of him, like, from some campaign thing with, like, Pete Buttigieg, and he just looked perfectly normal. Perfectly. Yeah.
The orange is a tip-off.
Orange jumpsuit. I wish you in cinder block wall that's been badly painted.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have a more festive motif for these court pictures, like a Tahitian thing or something like that? You see a picture of him with Pete Buttigieg, and it's like, hey, this seems like a normal dude. I wish we could tell the pedophiles just by looking at them. Kyle? You have a little look.
Wait, sorry. Say the sentence again?
I think you have a little bit of a pedophile look.
I do?
A little bit. Not full pedophile.
Yeah. I mean, I look like this guy a little bit. I think that's what it is.
When you see a kid who's kind of on the spectrum and you go, there's something wrong.
The facial hair.
You could pull this guy off. When they do the TV movie, your agent's phone's going to blow up.
I'd play a pedophile.
Are there, not just physical, but what are some of the tells that you've seen?
There really aren't. I mean, yes, you see some rangy guys surface in these cases and you go, God, you know, of course, this is from central casting. But for the vast majority of these cases, they don't have the word predator tattooed on their forehead. I mean, they look like regular guys. You could be standing next to you at the CVS on a Saturday morning, you know.
Yeah, one guy was on your train. I remember this episode
You
knew him on the train?
I knew him sort of. Back in the day, they had a bar car on Metro North, right? And so you'd gather in this club car and you'd have a beer or a drink or whatever. And it, you know, the 45 minutes goes by pretty quickly. It was genius, really. And it had been going on for, you know, decades. And so there's this one guy, and there was like a 6'10 bar car and a 547. And they're different groups of guys. And
you're both on the way to the same house? You don't know?
No. So this guy is kind of Choo Choo Charlie, is his nickname. And he's kind of on the periphery of pals on one of the trains, and not bothersome at all. And so forget about it. You know, I was no longer taking the trains. And so 2 years goes by, and we're doing this sting in Fairfield, Connecticut. And it's like a Saturday morning, and a guy's getting ready to show up for a 13-year-old boy. And we knew the name, but I didn't put two and two together. So he comes in, and he says, oh, no, Chris, oh, no, it's not what it looks like. And he runs. Now, it still hasn't registered with me. I'm thinking he said Chris because he's seen previous shows on television. So he runs, and I start to think about it. And I call a friend of mine. I said, hey, what's that guy's name who used to always want to hang out with us on the train, but we never really got to know him? Charles Lawrence. I said, oh, Charles Lawrence. And it turns out it was him. So, you know, all the conductors from then on called him Choo Choo Charlie because he, you know, showed up in
That's his nickname, yeah.
But he said he didn't have his glasses on and he thought it was 18, not 13. And the detective says, well, you found the address okay.
There's a three in that. Yeah. I grew up in, my mother still lives in Westport, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
This was
right off of 95. Yeah.
I know that train.
All right, let's do another, Chris.
All right, so there's a DNA just found on a sweet potato has helped Massachusetts solve a 12-year-old cold case murder.
We need more information.
Right. So 31-year-old Todd Lampley was fatally shot in his Massachusetts home back in 2011. And Deveris Hampton, who's 40, pleaded not guilty. Well, first off, they found there's a sweet potato on the scene, right? So there were shells, shell casings, and a sweet potato on the ground outside the window of the bedroom where he was shot. And investigators believed that the potato was used as a silencing device. So that was something like The Wire kind of made it really put it out there into mainstream that people started trying it. And I looked it up. It doesn't really work to the point where it almost never works. But if it does, it really just changes the tone of the shot rather than anything. But so he did that. And so they used his DNA. Now, what's interesting how – so his name's Deveris Hampton. He's 40. He pleaded not guilty on Monday to charges of murder. We'll see how that goes. So what happened was in 2016, authorities got a DNA sample from him without his knowledge by collecting some of his phlegm that he spit into a puddle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough detail.
Yeah.
Fall around the guy until he hawks a loogie and then come running up.
Yeah.
Making a cup out of your hands.
You know, I was thinking someone should do, because like Khloe Kardashian isn't related, has a different dad. Like everyone kind of knows that.
Yeah.
She's like a foot taller and just looks different. And then looks exactly like Chris's old hairdresser she had a affair with. But like that DNA, you think someone would grab her cup, because that's worth $1 million to have the evidence that she's not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You think that waiter would be like, I want $1 million. I'm going to grab this cup.
Yeah. Well, none of us are gay, so we're not really familiar
with this. Sorry, I did not. I thought you were gay. Wait a minute. I'm the only one.
I never even heard this theory, but it kind of makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's like a foot taller than the other girls.
She is, yeah.
And the one that if you put up like Chris – not that we need to go this, but like Chris Jenner and like the hairdresser looks a lot like Khloe, and he's tall and – But hey, I don't know. I'm just saying.
I love conspiracy, Kyle.
That's a conspiracy.
So he shoots through a sweet potato.
And so an outside lab found a very high probability that the DNA profiles from the swab of the sweet potato and his spit matched. So that's why they
old sweet potato silencer trick.
Yeah.
Foiled again.
The only thing sweet about that potato.
That's
right. I can't figure out if sweet potatoes are keto friendly or keto friendly.
I thought they were.
This is the controversy.
Right. So when I get sweet potato fries, I'm not helping myself at all.
I think a sweet potato is a little better than a regular one, but it's not.
What about the purple garnets?
I don't know. But I don't know anything
about
that.
You didn't do the research.
I didn't.
You got us all the way into this.
Yeah. See, this is supposed to be the
news journal.
I know. This is the investigative journalism.
You're the anchorman here.
Here's the whole.
Get with it, Chris.
Oh, no.
Here's the whole thing with the keto stuff that I figured out.
Do you do keto?
I try on occasion. There is the stuff that's truly keto.
Right.
And then there's the stuff that everyone knows isn't keto.
Are you getting the shot?
Oh, no. I don't care about my parents that much. And then there's, you know, croissants and muffins and stuff and everything. Then there's this whole in-between section of, oh, this is cauliflower pizza or this is sweet potato or whatever. it's not keto, but everyone who's eating keto wants to eat that shit so badly
that we've labeled these
corn chips keto, but they're not, because you turn them around and it's like potato flour and cornmeal and whatever. But we want so badly to step outside of just the broccolini and the roasted chicken that we've invented a third middle category of stuff to argue about because we want to eat it.
Right. So sweet potatoes have about half the calories of a potato, but the carbs are just as high.
Okay.
So they're not keto.
Yeah, had this argument last night with someone who thought they were going keto.
Right.
All right. One more because Casper's on.
Okay, sure. Let's see. Oh, Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been reported now that they are banning people from using its site just with the mere association with other users who are deemed a safety risk.
Uh-huh.
So if you go and try to reserve an Airbnb in your account and they think, well, this guy travels with that guy we just banned last week, you cannot reserve one either just for being associated with that person. And the only way they said you can be unbanned is if the person that's banned appeals the ban, or if you're able to prove that you're not really closely associated with that person.
Fuck Airbnb, because there was a story about 2 weeks ago where there was some very right-wing political, female, and they banned her from using Airbnb. It's a danger when sort of companies start getting into the politics, and then they banned her parents too.
Yeah, so it's Lauren Southern, right wing activist. So.
And then her parents like went, "What the fuck?" And they went, "Oh, it was a mistake."
They did. They apologized.
Why are all the mistakes always kind of going toward, "Oh, we banned this guy's account from Twitter who was talking about COVID," but that was a mistake. Oh, let me guess what he was saying about COVID.
Yeah.
He was saying open the schools and open the beaches and whatever, talking shit about Fauci, but. Yeah, everyone's getting political, and I'm saying fuck Airbnb. They said it was a mistake, right?
They did. They said it was a mistake, and they apologized. So, but this is
after they got outed. After she
of course, after
said something.
She's a big YouTuber, so she definitely has a lot of reach.
But
so,
why even ban her? She's right wing, but why do we need to ban her?
They didn't.
What is Airbnb doing?
It was that thing. So they didn't allow her parents because they were closely associated to Lauren.
Sometimes parents are that way with their kids. Not in my family, but oftentimes it happens.
Yeah. So anyway, so this is interesting, though. So more quietly, though, for a decade now, Airbnb has had background checks completed on its users. Since 2016, they have been completed by a third-party service that claims that they can complete background checks in less than 0.3 seconds.
Wow.
So if you get an Airbnb, they're looking in your background as well.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this quickly, and we'll talk to Casper Van Dien. I rent a house usually when I go to Laguna Seca to do various automotive races over there. And before we leave on Sunday morning or whenever we're out of there, we clean that house.
Sure, as you should.
We just clean it.
We do the same thing when we get.
Yeah, well, because there's semen everywhere. For
not for predator houses. I mean, cows and family.
Yeah. I thought you meant the crew.
No, not with a black light. It's not a black light job.
What I'm saying is some people go, look, we paid a little extra. They pay a little. The cleaning crew comes.
Right.
And I know it comes, but we always just sort of – we tidy up after
ourselves.
The old
Boy Scout relieve the campground cleaner than
when you that's what we do. And then – every year when we call this guy, sometimes multiple times a year, we go, hey, can we have the house? He goes, yeah, because he didn't walk in and kick a garbage bag and fall onto the ground and there's not a bunch of pasta plates left on the table. We just take care of our shit and then it's good. When I was young, I used to use a guy's cabinet shop in Chatsworth and stuff. I'd pay him $50. He'd let me build all my clients' cabinets and stuff there. I cleaned the shit out of that place before I left. Not for him, but for me. Like, I wanted to use this place again. I don't get why more people don't understand that algorithm. Like, be responsible, but not for them, for you. You'll get on their good side, and then you'll be welcome back. All right, should we take a quick break and come back with Casper?
Sure.
We'll do that right after this. O'Reilly. Auto parts. Love the song. Love the service. Love the attitude, love the parts at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Shop in-store or online. Get points and rewards sent straight to your phone or your inbox. You can get 2, 3, or even 4 times the bonus points on select purchases. To get you to your next reward even faster, receive a $5 reward for every 150 O Rewards points. And if you're already an O Rewards member and not receiving the rewards, just add your email or mobile phone number and get a $10 reward just for updating your existing account. And you sign up. And it's quick and it's easy. Just go to O'ReillyAuto.com, O'ReillyAuto.com, or do it in a store. That's an O'Reilly store.
In celebration of Jim Carolla's upcoming 92nd birthday, here's a list of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Number 28, worn a tuxedo. Just one of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, can you hear us? Casper Van Dien has joined us. He's in Florida somewhere, I think.
I am.
Chris Hansen and Kyle Dunnigan are hanging in. Casper, you know, probably best from Starship Troopers, a movie that it's not underrated anymore because everyone loves it. Maybe it was underrated when it came out. Beverly Hills 90210 and the like has a new movie coming out we can talk about. Good seeing you again, Casper.
Good to see you, too.
I was funny. I'm reading down on your bio here, and you went to an academy in St. Petersburg. Like, was it like a military academy?
Yeah, when I went, it was an all-guy military school. And then a couple years later, went co-ed, doubled its enrollment. But when I was there, it was just dudes.
And I know your whole family's been in the service, and I think your dad was a fighter jock as well back in the day.
My dad was a pilot for 20 years. He's 92 like your father. Mm-hmm. He's going to be 92 this year. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
What an era. He flew during the Vietnam era?
He did. He flew from 1955 to 75. So through
God.
Yeah.
So he
flew in and out of Da Nang. And when I actually did a war movie in 2000, I was actually in Vietnam for 2 weeks. We shot most of the film in the Philippines over there. And then I went over to Vietnam for 2 weeks and they dummied up a script. And it was just me there. And I went into Da Nang and Ho Chi Minh City. I went to some of the places my father had been. It was powerful. At the time when I was there in 2000, 78% of the population was under the age of 25.
Chris Hansen, you better get over there.
Yeah. Talk about international investigation.
Yes.
Well, it would all be under 45 now because that was 20-something years ago.
What kind of equipment did your dad fly? And then we'll get to
the movie. Well, he was a submarine hunter. And he did the P-3s and he did C-10s. He flew a whole bunch of different things. But he hunted submarines and he flew with a bomb for the submarines once.
Wow.
Over. Yeah, I know. But he's amazing. My dad also then, when he retired, he was in charge of the boot camps for the Navy, going for some of the Navy, up in Newport, Rhode Island. So every year from age 4 up until I went to military school, they had million uniforms behind all these all his cadets that were training. And I was doing the obstacle courses with him and marching around. Yeah.
So what I was looking at on your bio is that when you're at the academy, you got in many fights because they referred to you as Ken doll. Those aren't fighting words to me
if you're in an all guy military school, because let me just say something. If we had done theater back then, which they do have theater now, but they have girls now, mm-hmm. they would have chosen the guy that looks most like the Ken doll to be, you know, Juliet in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
And back then, that would have been a fight because the guys would have been making fun of you and teasing you. It would have been a fight. Now it would be like a challenge and I wouldn't care less. I could give, you know, I don't care anymore.
No.
It doesn't bother me. But back then, they were always fighting words. And even if you didn't think they were fighting, when somebody's fist is hitting you in the face first, then you realize, I think we're fighting.
I never thought about that, but the Ken doll has to be the prettiest boy, which is fine if it's co-ed, but if it's the prettiest boy in the all-boys school, then that's like saying the prettiest guy in the prison yard.
That's an issue. Thank you very much. Still, you know when you're getting out soon, that's a good thing to be. That's like the best thing.
Yeah,
picked on. Oh, I'm too handsome.
Yes,
I'm going to cash in on that in 3 years.
Yeah, Kyle was picked Not on that. For hygiene issues.
You can't prove that.
So, the movie, which it's called Daughter, it's available now in select theaters and on digital and on demand. This is almost unheard of. 94% with the critics, which is anytime you crack 80, that's pretty, sacred ground there. 100% with the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, that's a combined score of 194. The best you could do is 200. That's insane. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, it was when I first got this offer, my manager called me up and goes, I don't think you want to do this script. I don't get it, but your agent loves it. So take a look. I called him back up and I read it and I go, I'm in. And he goes, what is it? And then he's called up since and he's apologized and said, my manager said, no, your agent was right. He goes, this is great. but when I read it, I play father who has a daughter and a son and a wife. And if the daughter doesn't do what she's supposed to help with the son, then he will replace her. Yeah. But not in a good way.
Mm. Casper's terrifying in this.
Wait, I think your mic's potted off. So sorry.
Casper's terrifying in this. Like this is like a Ken doll. And yes. Watching him in Starship Troopers, he's the protagonist, he's the hero. Watching this, it's gritty and he's terrifying. Like he's just so scary as the dad, and it feels like the family's scared of him and everyone's just scared of him. And it's just finding how he gets into that mindset must be.
Yeah, Casper's screwing around with his earbuds right now, but he can.
Something went Spanish on my earphones. I don't know if you guys heard it. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, the thing.
I don't know what's going on with my earbuds.
I was just asking, how did you get in the mindset of playing such a terrifying role?
Well, when I read the role, I thought it was amazing. The way this guy wrote it, he Sean, it's his first time. He's the first time director, and he did based it off of Simone de Beauvoir. I think something. I don't remember how to pronounce her last name. But the ethics of ambiguity. It was a whole book that he did at the time. Now, we shot this in 2019, so it was before the pandemic. And when I was reading it, it was the quotes between this woman and the Bible and different other authors. The character that I play, Father, really believes that he is doing something good. And it gets into it opens up with this is based more closely to the more on the truth than it is on fiction. And it's because of the people that do abduct people and chain them up and stuff like that. Unfortunately, those real stories that happen. So when I was reading this, it put the chills up, the hairs up on the back of my neck stood up. And then for prepping for this role, I did all that studying, but I also had a beard and I called the director up and go, hey, is this beard okay? I sent him a picture. He goes, yeah. And I go, and can I part my hair down the middle? He goes, love it. And then when I was leaving my house, my wife and my daughters were all like, oh, you look so terrible. Why are you putting your hair like that? You're freaking me out. Just comb your hair. Dad, change it. They try to mess up my hair. But I drive like father to work, and I work all day, and I drive back like father, and I come back, and I'm like, oh, my God, you still have your hair. And all I did was part it down the middle. So it wasn't like I'm some great method actor. It's just parting the hair down the middle.
It's all in the part.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it all is.
Oh, if I try part my hair down the middle, I will look like a sociopath. If
well, I apparently did.
Do you have a son as well?
I do.
How old is your son?
29.
Is there, when you're raising your son, we grew up around the same time. We grew up in a totally different world. Your dad was, Mr. The great Santini, I'm sure. And then how then do you pass that crazy discipline along to your son? Because there's just no way in this current day and age, and your son's a little older than my son, that you can instill all of that stuff in them, because it's literally abuse. Whatever was done to you is now considered abuse by today's standards. Child Protective Services would come in.
They called me handsome.
Yeah, that was only the thing. You know, I couldn't do any of the same things I did, nor would I want to. Well, I think we always want to step up and do better. But I think that there's some difference in that I think that we had more respect for our elders. Right now, I think, and also not because you can't hit them or you can't do anything like that. I think it's because they're so into, they'll just Google something. So like I used to sit and listen to older people and hear what they had to say because it was valuable and they had actually been through it. But now people, the younger generation, some of them feel like, some of them, not all of them, but some of them feel like they can just Google it and that they don't need to talk to the old people.
I was struck by a news story. Maybe we can find it.
Sure.
Maybe Emmy can find it. It's an old story about a 9-year-old who was going to sue Santa or had an issue with Santa. It was a 9-year-old. I think it was out of the Midwest. And the story's a couple years old. And he jumped on Santa's lap, and he was a wide load. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so Santa said, take it easy on the fries. And then he went to his mom and said, Santa disrespected me. And then mom got involved.
Oh, I remember.
And the news came out and they all turned on Santa. And my thing is when they interviewed the kid was like, Santa disrespected me. And I'm like, first off, from 0 to 31, I never accused anyone of disrespecting me because I was a peon. Like, I was a horrible student. Then I was a laborer on a construction site. I never accused anyone older than me, much less Santa Claus, of disrespecting me. So we've blown this thing wide open. The reality is, I'm sure the kid has early on, you know, adolescent diabetes and is going to lose a limb soon enough and is morbidly obese. And Santa, of all people, passed on some advice, some good advice. But that angered him because it disrespected. You can't disrespect a 9-year-old. When I was 9, it was impossible to disrespect a 9-year-old because children were seen and not heard and blah, blah, blah. But I was listening to this and I was like, and mama, instead of being ashamed and being like, boy, my kid's a fat ass.
Lay off the candy.
Off the candy. Instead got angered and went after Santa. And then all the news outlets didn't want to talk about childhood obesity. They wanted to have this Santa, you know, drummed out of the core.
Mm-hmm.
Probably said that because your dad. I mean, the drummed out of the core part. Is your dad, Chris, you can find it somewhere. I don't know how many years
I have
old
the story.
I got it here,
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Do you have it?
9-year-old kid. Exactly as you said, he went out and he started crying because Santa told him to lay off the burgers and fries.
By the way, that would be a standard joke if I were Santa. If people jumped on my lap all day, I would have that joke loaded.
Yeah.
But all right.
And then the 9-year-old.
Well, apparently the kid had it loaded.
That's right.
The only thing loaded.
He also didn't feel that Santa's apology was heartfelt.
Yeah.
Imagine Chris Hansen, 9-year-old Chris Hansen.
Oh, well, first of all, I was wearing husky pants when I was 9-year-old.
Right.
So that I might have qualified for the Santa weight reduction program.
You at 9, anybody, Casper, Kyle, at age 9, accusing Santa of being disrespectful and then running back to your parents and telling them that
Big Bill Hansen would have said?
What would Big Bill Hansen say?
First of all, he wouldn't have entertained the complaint.
Right.
Yeah. And he would have said, well, you know, maybe.
Hold on. Santa's Kyle, be young Chris Hansen.
All right.
Yeah, we got to young Hansen. It up a little bit.
What's happening here?
All right. And then, Chris, you be old Bill Hansen, your dad.
Big Bill Hansen.
And you're going to.
You also should have laid off the French fries and hamburgers.
You're going to drop a dime on Santa for disrespecting you.
Dad, I have something to tell you.
What is it?
Well, I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it.
All right. Have a seat. I don't have all day.
Have a seat.
Not fast enough.
Yeah.
Santa Claus said something.
Vodka grapefruit here.
He's drinking again. Santa said something to me that hurt my feelings.
What did Santa say to you,
son? Well, I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. Right. He said I was a fat piece of shit.
A fat piece of shit. Man. Well, you know what, son? Here's the thing. First of all, Santa is always right. Second of all, the piece of shit part might not have been great, but let's back off the French fries.
The only thing I'm backing off from is my first grade math homework.
If you back your ass in the cartoon, maybe you should back your ass in the garage and clean it for me, perhaps, or cut the lawn.
I mean, that's the fact that he doesn't accept Santa's apology,
and then doesn't accept,
not good enough.
Well, who's it? Yeah, his quote was, when he went to apologize to me, he didn't even mean it.
Okay. Now, we can find the clip somewhere, Dawson. It's out there somewhere. But here's what I'm saying. If I'm the dad of that little 9-year-old snot-nosed, fat-ass piece of shit, I am going to turn lemon into lemonade, because next Christmas – no, this Christmas, because this is 3 weeks before Christmas, no gifts. No gifts.
Yeah.
And then the kid's going to come downstairs in the morning. There's going to be nothing under the tree. I'm going to save $80. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be like, where's all the gifts? I was like, shouldn't have fucked with Santa.
Yeah, that's what you get.
You talk shit to Santa, you get no gifts. Check your stocking. I think there's some coal in there. And that'd be that. Because at 9, you still kind of believe.
Yeah.
By the way, how fat is this kid? He's big, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
All right. All right. Sorry, Casper. So was your...
That's okay.
Was your... what did... So for you, you grow up, you look like a Ken doll, so it seems natural just to go right into acting?
Yeah, well, I didn't think I was going to do that. I, like I said, I went to the all-guy military school. I thought I was going to, you know, go to – when I went to college, I thought I would go the route of taking military scholarships and trying to become a doctor and do it that way. But then I just thought I'd go and go to Hollywood and fuck off for a little while and see what that was like. And that I did 35 years ago.
How did you get discovered, if you were in fact discovered?
Ah, okay. Well, I was working at a gym going into my second year of college just the summer before. And this guy goes, hey, that other guy's going over to this modeling competition. You should go to it. I go, I'm not going to go to it. I'm not a model. He goes, why don't you just go over with him? Just take the competition. The guy's like, yeah, come on. And so I went to this modeling competition and there was a commercial talent and a modeling thing. And I won. And I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. And then this agent goes, hey, you want an I got an audition for you. If you'd like, I can submit you. And I go, sure, you can submit me. And then, hey, I got you an audition. I was like, okay, when you got to come over to Miami. And that was like 3 days later after the competition. So I go over there and I did my audition, came back. And then they said, okay, you got a call back. So you got to come back here. And I go, what? Why do I have to come back? So I went back and then they wanted us to sing a song and dance. And I did. And then I booked a job. That was my very first audition, my very first role, and it got me in the union back then, which was harder to get into than it is now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even want to buy into the union because I was like, well, that costs what you're telling me I have to pay to the union is exactly what I'm going to get paid.
Right.
They're like, no, believe me, you want to get in the union. And I went ahead and did it. And then I heard a manager out in California heard of me. He was looking for his Magnificent Seven, and he got Elijah Wood and Jonathan Taylor Thomas and me and a whole bunch of other people that always work all the time. But his name was Gary Scalzo. He died 2 years later. But he was an amazing guy.
This is the opposite of my experience.
Yeah, me too. Hollywood. This is the this substantiates my theory. And my theory I've espoused on the show many times, which is it's nobody's idea, male or female, to go to a modeling audition. They are the friend who goes along to the audition. Now, I'm not calling you a liar, Casper, because in this case, I believe it. When women tell me this story, I think they're fudging it a little bit. I think it's their idea, but they say a friend dragged me along. They don't sound grandiose that way. And I was just telling this theory a couple of days ago on this show. But the person who's going to the modeling audition never gets the gig, but the person they drag along gets the gig. So I'm going to tell my son and daughter, if you'd like to get into modeling, don't have it be your idea. Have a slightly less hot friend. give you the idea, then you tag along.
Yeah, go as support.
Can't miss.
You go with them, and then you will be discovered at that. Because that's how every good modeling story works, both male and female.
Yeah, and it also
– I'll tell you this. I won that competition, but then I could never – I was not good at modeling because I'm too much of a dork, and I do, like, weird faces. Like, they said, you got to do a pose. They go, like, look over here, look, like, really sultry. I go – it just didn't work. I never booked anything, so I just went into acting afterwards. Because the and what I won at the modeling competition was I won the runway, which you can you're on stage and you're performing doing something like that. And the other thing I won was commercial talent. I didn't win the print or the other modely type stuff things. I won the talking thing. And I'm from Jersey, so we can talk a lot. And I, you know, I don't give a fuck.
I picture young Casper sharing the news with his hard ass ex-pilot dad going, I won a modeling competition. He's like, okay, homo. Hold on, dad. Hold on. I know you love it. The runway. You love runways. And then he perks up and he lightens up. Okay, it's got to do with a runway.
Yeah. Should be good.
You taking off or landing, boy, or just taxiing?
I also got a pilot. I auditioned.
I got a pilot. Yeah. I'm doing runway modeling and I got a pilot.
It's all working now. Spellings. All working now.
Do we have – I think we have a clip of that little Tubelard dissing Santa. We'll play it for you when we're ready. Maybe. Well, I don't know. If you put it on the screen.
For the local report, take a look.
And when I got done, he said, just lay off the hamburgers and french fries, and that really just disrespected me, and I felt awful.
What set me off is when he started crying.
The polar opposite to tears of joy.
I was just mind blown. I wished a million times that we would have never went.
It affected me so bad that I was crying until I went to bed that night. And I would have said to him, like my mama said, like, you don't want to disrespect a 9-year-old. Even though what shape besides you are, it doesn't matter.
He later.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you one of the signs you probably need to lose weight. When they put the lav mic on your collar, but your third chin is flopped over the lav mic.
Oh, I can see it.
At age 9, that's probably a sign that it's time to lay off the fries and the burgers. But anyway, fat mama and fat son were disrespected. Then they can just go get fatter. It's a wonderful world we're building. Your 92-year-old dad would not approve of this. Oh, my God. I can imagine your dad with all the woke shit going on, Casper. He's got to be going out of his mind.
My dad is not so much into all the stuff. I mean, he's a little depressed about the war in Ukraine, stuff like that, because, I mean, he used to hunt the Russian subs. That's what his main thing was. So he is, you know, this stuff has affected him in that way because he's like, what did we do all that for? If, you know, all this is going on in the Ukraine and Putin can get away with this stuff. And so my dad's, those things kind of affect him in that way. The other stuff, like this kid and the issues that he has with Santa, I don't know if they're really
based
across his radar. I just think he's more concerned with those things and his family and stuff like that. He's pretty amazing. My dad's really amazing because he was like, When I told him I was going to college, he's like, what are you going to college for? And I said, to be a doctor and go in the military. And he goes, and what do you want to be? And I said, well, I want to be I'd love to be an actor. And he goes, and what are you going to college for? And I said, be a doctor and be in the military. And he said, why? So I unpacked my car for college, packed it for California, and went out that same day.
Man, I mean, nice that he was realistic and supportive. Which a
yeah,
lot
of course.
Dads
after
aren't.
After 6 months, he called me up and he goes, "So you're not a big Hollywood star? You're coming back home yet?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "No, I think." He goes, "Well, I had to ask." So,
well, has he seen daughter yet?
He has not seen daughter yet. My brother-in-law has seen daughter, and my dad doesn't like those things that are really violent.
Yeah,
he saw enough of it.
I get it, but regardless of the genre. Because there's many a movie genre I don't like, but if my kid was in it, I would watch it unless it was porn. That's a separate question. But I feel like he needs to watch it even if it's outside of his genre.
They watch most of my stuff. My mom and dad watch almost everything. They're like, but there's a couple times where I'll say to them, I don't think you should watch that one, just because they don't need to.
Do you ever?
But this one, My mom and my sister and my brother-in-law will all watch. I don't know if my dad will because he sees me different. Like, his favorite character growing up was Tarzan. So when I got to be Tarzan, I mean, he introduced me to the books and the movies when I was a kid. So I mean, he really just he even had a swing. His father, my grandfather, had set up ropes going from the back porch all the way to the forest in Ramsey, New Jersey, to go all the way around and up to the front porch. And he said he could almost go swing from tree to tree, from the back porch, from tree to tree, all the way up to the front, and almost make it with one leg bounce onto the front porch. So my dad loved Tarzan. So when I got to be that, that was his ultimate thing. And of course, Starship, he loved that one.
Did you have, tell us one story, because you were such a stunning man aesthetically, although I'm attracted to your personality. Hollywood.
It's just you, I thought you were attracted to me for the articles.
Who is there anybody who just overtly came up and hit on you? Because those stories for women are as long as the day is long. But do you ever have anyone's agent or manager or themselves just like go, I've seen that dude on TV or in the movies, like, I just want to date with him?
I had a couple of things like that happen to me too. And one thing happened to me that I'll go ahead and say it. I'm talking about it in the press thing. But when I was doing Starship Troopers, the publicity department came to me and they said the White House has called and wanted to know if you wanted to escort Chelsea Clinton at an event at the White House. And I go, isn't she their kid, the little kid? And they're like, yeah, well, she's almost 17 now. And I go, I'm 27.
Chris,
yes. How many years?
I was taking notes right there.
Go, not going to happen, buddy. Yeah. Not going to happen.
Yeah. Where was this chat?
Hmm. Well, that's I mean, I had other things happen like that, but that was a weird one because they're like, they're just calling, you don't want to go to the White House? And they're like, it's just as an escort. And I'm like, I don't care.
His screen name is Trooper Pooper 69. Star.
Well, how did Chelsea Clinton get on to you pre-Starship Troopers?
It was the Starship Troopers had come out, and they asked me.
Oh, it had just come out. Oh, okay.
It had just come out, and I was doing press. I had done Jay Leno, and I think I had done the Adam Carolla show. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Probably that's where it was.
Well, I thought you said you were working on it or something, but it came out. She saw you. She was like, I want to go to the junior prom with that guy, and my dad's the president, so blow a phone call in there.
I literally don't know all the things that went on with it. I know that they just came up to me and asked me if I would want to do that. And I said, I was just so confused because I always thought of her as a little kid. And she still was a little kid to me. I mean, she's 16 or 17, whatever. I was like, whatever. But
I would have gone.
Yeah, Kyle would have done it.
I wouldn't have done anything, but I would have gone.
You know, with my luck and the ex-wives I have, I don't think it'd be a smart move. I'm glad I didn't do that one. I have enough other things that they complain about that I've done. So I didn't need that one.
Well, here's something not to complain about. Daughter, which is available now in select theaters and on digital and on demand as well. And again, 94% with the critics, 100% with the audience. I'm going to watch this crap with my son when I get home.
Yeah, it's an interesting. Thank you for saying it's an interesting movie because it is all. It's a movie that I shot all on film, which I hadn't done.
Film.
Since, yeah, on film and from a film package from 94. The camera package was from 94, so it was like really old. And even the Polaroids they used in the film and behind the scenes were all the original Polaroids. And then the camera that they shot all the stills on was from 1950. And so they all this weird things. I mean. We even had the problems that comes with filming on film is one day one of the director came to me and goes, you remember that scene? I have this 3.5-page scene where I'm just talking, basically me teaching a lesson to my son and daughter. And I just do all the talking. And then I finished that scene. I was like, great, done. 4 days later, we're back on set. And he comes up to me and goes, hey, you remember that scene you shot? And I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, the magazine was no good. Which hadn't happened since basically Starship, so since 1997, back when we were shooting on film. So I go, when do we have to shoot? He goes, now. I go, what? He goes, because we have to change the set and we can't go on, so we have to move before we do it. So last minute, I had to shoot a whole scene that I had already shot, but I hadn't prepared for it. And that's as soon as I showed up on the set.
Well, the texture. I shot a movie called The Hammer on Super 16. We shot on film as well. So, and when I shot a Man Show bit where we were mimicking Benny Hill, we got the actual camera that they used from Benny Hill. And we shot it that way because nothing will look the same, even now a little more digitally, but there's nothing like the real deal. Casper.
Where's this Benny? Where's this Benny Hill thing? Where's this? Can I see this?
Well, let's see.
Can your people send me a link or something like that?
Where is it? The Man Show, Benny Hill. I don't know. You got a computer? Man Show, Benny Hill.
My wife will figure it out for me.
Don't show it to her. it gets a little raunchy. It's not our Benny Hill. This is my version of it. Man Show, Benny Hill.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. That's awesome.
Adam Carolla is probably around somewhere. Casper, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it today.
Thanks for having me, man.
Always a good time. All right. Chris, let's give Chris a plug. Crime Nation with Chris Hansen. And
you can find it all on True Blue, TRUBLU. Watch TrueBlue.com.
And since you're both answering to Chris Hansen, that'll be all the plugs we do today.
Now, hold on a second here. Kyle's going on tour.
Oh, that's right. Minneapolis, House of Comedy, March 17th through the 19th. Tacoma, Washington, Tacoma Comedy Club. That'll be March 31st through April 1st. For more dates, KyleDunneganComedy.com. I just watched him do stand-up a week ago. He's an excellent stand-up comedian.
So is Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Adam killed.
You guys. Oh, you hung around. God bless you.
Absolutely.
Also, I'll be at Jimmy Kimmel's Theater in Vegas coming up this Thursday. And also Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club coming up 24th, 25th. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Chris Hansen and Casper Van Dien and Kyle Dunnigan and Chris Max Pattis. Say it. Mahalo.
Pick yourself up a copy of Adam's latest book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. The Adam Carolla Show is recorded using Rode microphones. And all our music is provided by Extreme Music. Get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at AdamCarolla.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.